This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. You may have heard the phrase paid family leave. It's a popular one at the State House and in Vermont business circles right now because it's up for debate in the legislature. Should workers be given paid leave to have or take care of a baby or a sick family member or themselves if they're ill or injured? And should companies and workers pay for it? The way the debate and the legislation has been shaping up is that there would be a statewide pool of money that workers would draw from when they need to take this kind of time off. And it would be funded by a payroll deduction split between employers and employees. I'm joined today by Vermont Labor Commissioner Lindsay Curley and by another Lindsay, Lindsay DeLaurier. She's the Vermont State Director of the Main Street Alliance, which is a national association of small business owners. Lindsay Curley and Lindsay DeLaurier, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
So, you know, right now, under the federal program known as the Family Medical Leave Act, or FMLA, workers are allowed to take up to 12 weeks off to care for themselves, to care for new babies, sick family members, and to have job security when they come back, so they won't lose their jobs. But those 12 weeks are unpaid. So unless a company, or there are a few states that have a program like this that offer payment, unless there's payment by another means, there's no pay under FMLA. And sometimes payment also comes through on disability insurance that's carried by the company. This bill would, as I said, create a pool of money through a payroll deduction that employees could draw from. Lindsay DeLaurier, you support this bill. Fundamentally, why do you think it's important to have paid family leave and paid sick leave?
Well, at the Main Street Alliance, we look at every piece of legislation and every proposal through a small business lens. And so from a small business perspective, you know, what you said a moment ago is right. Right now, for somebody to take an extended period of time off to welcome a new baby, or if they're grappling with an illness in their family or severe injury or something like that, that cost is going to fall entirely on the small business owner if they want to be able to provide pay for that person during that time. But in many cases, and in most cases, really, for small businesses, that's just not a reality. They can't come up with 12 weeks of paid leave to cover that kind of an extended time period. And so the way that small business owners are going to be able to offer this benefit to their employees, and in Vermont as a small business state, the way that Vermont is going to be able to ensure that people are able to take this critical time when they need it to welcome a new baby or to manage a long illness in their family, is going to be by creating this economy of scale and making it possible for everyone to have access to that benefit. So that's the small business perspective. I think from the human perspective and thinking about all the different angles that the various coalition members come to support this issue, it's pretty obvious. You know, everyone is going to come up at some point either in a joyful way because they're going to welcome a new child to their family, or in a more difficult way because maybe they're dealing with an end-of-life situation for a parent, or maybe they themselves got diagnosed with a serious illness, and that's going to take some time to be treated. You know, everyone is going to come up against a situation where they're going to need some time to manage their life. And for many people, that taking time away from work is a real hardship if you're not paid for that time.
But I can hear an argument that says, great, true, fair enough, and humanity, obviously, very important. But if you know that at some point in your life you may need to take some extended time off, or you know you're going to have children, or you have elderly parents and you know that's coming down the line, save up some money. It's not your employer's responsibility to pay you when you go away.
I hear what you're saying, and I think for many people that is a reality, and that's something that they can do. But for many people, it's just not a reality. You know, we talk a lot in Vermont. You know, the new governor talks a lot in Vermont about affordability, and when we talk about affordability, you know, you can think about low-income workers. And you can imagine that how difficult it might be to save that kind of money on a $12 an hour wage or something like that. But it's really true for middle-income workers too. You know, saving money as a in a household, and our median household income is around $52,000 a year. Saving money in a median income household with kids and the cost of housing and the cost of childcare and so many expenses building up, that is a real challenge. That's a real challenge. And what we're trying to do too, if people are able to save up that money, we want to see them saving that money for retirement. We want to see them saving that money for their future and not running through their whole savings because they want to have a child or because their parent gets sick.
Commissioner Curley, where do you come in on this idea? And we'll get to some of the details of the bill, but the idea of paid family leave and whether or not it's a good idea.
Yeah, sure. You know, certainly, just to give you a little background on myself, I have three children myself. I've been through, you know, welcoming those children into the world. I've also had to take care of a parent after surgery. And certainly understand what a daunting task it can be if you are not financially prepared to do that. That being said, as much as I'd like to see everybody have paid family leave, I am not in support of it coming through a mandate.
Why not? I mean, Lindsay Delorier said a lot of small businesses would like to do this, but they can't. But if, you know, as we know from healthcare debates, if you don't have a big enough pool, then a pool doesn't make sense. So why not have a mandate?
Yeah, exactly. I think that there was a great article in 7 Days recently where they discussed how creative small businesses were being in terms of offering leave to their employees. And I know as a small business owner myself, I like to be able to offer employees something special, something extra to attract them. And again, I think that it's nice when you can offer what your business can afford. So with all of the new mandates that have come down on businesses over the last few years, they're absorbing, you know, several new laws and regulations. I just don't think that we can ask businesses to incur these costs right now.
Lindsay Delorier, you represent the Main Street Alliance. How many businesses are in your alliance and why are they supporting this, given what we just heard from Commissioner Curley?
So we work with about 500 or so businesses around the state, and somewhere around 200 of those businesses have specifically signed on to a coalition to really actively support this legislation.
Have the others said they don't support it?
No. It's just we always offer up the opportunity for people to publicly put their name on something. We think it's a nice way for people to be advocates for the things that really rise up to the surface and things that they really care about and to have that public face. I just want to respond to one thing because, you know, I think we hear this a lot about from particularly, you know, mid and larger businesses saying, you know, I offer a really generous benefits package and I use this as a recruitment tool and I want to be able to do that and I want to retain that advantage. And from a business perspective, we totally understand that. But the challenge is we live in a small business state. And that is just not an opportunity that every small business owner has. And who's paying the price for that are the small businesses themselves, of course, because then they're at a – if you're a small business, you find yourself in a competitive disadvantage trying to attract and retain that good talent. But as a small business state, you know, we've got to be thinking about how are we going to attract and retain talent here as a state? You know, we're going to be in competition with North Carolina or with Oregon or with San Francisco or all these other great places to live where maybe people can make a little bit more money. But we've got to try to attract people here. We've got to try to keep people here. And the other piece of that is that it's really those employees who aren't getting that benefit. And we want everyone to have that benefit. We want everybody to have, you know, that security, they know that Vermont's got their back.
Commissioner Curley, what do you think about that idea of employee retention and attraction and business retention and attraction to the state of Vermont?
Sure. You know, certainly as the Commissioner of Labor, it is very much my goal to make sure that Vermonters stay here and work here. I have children. I hope that when they grow up and go to work that they think Vermont is a great place to be and working and whatnot. I also very much understand that we are a small business state and we're talking about a $40 million price tag for those employers. So 40 to 80. My concern.
Well, that's split, right? Between the employees and the employers.
Right. Exactly. So I was saying 40 to 80 and you split it. Mm-hmm. My concern is certainly that if we keep piling too much on these businesses, we'll lose employers, number one. And I feel also that we should be cognizant of the fact that we don't want to encourage negative creativity by employers, like they might reduce hours or other benefits in response to mandated, new mandated benefits or rules. So I like the idea of a voluntary plan. You know, there's certain benefits that I receive, you know, working for the state of Vermont that I can choose to buy into or not. And I think that it would be great if we could come up with a way to do a voluntary plan.
We're talking today about the idea of paid family and sick leave. It's being debated in Montpelier, and I'm curious about how you listeners are finding that debate. What you think? Is this something that would attract you or keep you in Vermont if you're a small business owner? Is this something that feels attractive to you or feels like a burden, a tax burden? Russell says it sounds like just another tax, and you could use other words, but where does it stop? Vermont is already a very expensive place to live. Ted in Cabot says, my fiance and I will be starting a family in the next couple of years, and this program would be a tremendous help. Although she has a generous leave available through her job, I'm already stockpiling all my vacation and sick time so I can be there when the time comes. Like most Vermonters, we can't afford to take unpaid time off from work. It's shocking to me that the U.S. is so behind other countries in this realm. With so much uncertainty at the federal level, now is the time for Vermont to put initiatives like this in place. This is one area where our state legislators and governor can really take a stand to improve conditions for working Vermonters and promote a healthier economy for all. However, Jill says, I support Governor Phil Scott on this issue. Governor Scott has said he would veto a bill that required a mandate. And Jill says, to me, paid medical leave now would be premature and have a negative economic effect on the state. I suggest that now is not the time to make it more difficult for current Vermont businesses. Instead, encourage them to stay, work with current businesses, not against them, work with improving education, not against it. And let's go to Rob, calling in from Burlington. Hi, Rob. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Afternoon. My comment and anecdote is from personal experience. My mother has younger onset Alzheimer's, and last year I had to leave my job to help my father care for her. And in the process, my employer was not able to provide me compensation or support. So I ended up having to step away from that job. And so I am in full support. I do believe that if you mandate it, it's a proactive way to help those when the time comes and they need that help. And so I am in full support. I do believe that it should be mandated because it's one of those costs that you spend now, and it will pay back down the road tenfold. So thank you so much.
Rob, thanks for your thoughts and for sharing your experience. I appreciate that. The mechanism to fund this pool of money that's being considered in this bill right now is through a payroll tax or deduction, depending on how you want to phrase it, of just under 1%. It's 0.93%. And the cost would be split between the employer and the employee. So for you as an employee, anybody out there looking at your paycheck, you would have about one half of 1% of your salary coming out of each paycheck. Commissioner Curley, that sounds like a very little amount to fund a pool that would help every worker. Why is that a burden that the governor and you are unwilling to see as a benefit that you think the tax burden is too high?
Well, I think that as the governor made his way around the state during the campaign, he heard many Vermonters talking about affordability, and they feel that we're already too heavily taxed. So I think that as an administration, we're being very cognizant of people feeling that we've already placed too much on the backs of employers and Vermont workers. I think somebody did either call in or write in to that, regard as well. And, you know, we've committed to Vermonters that we will not raise taxes. So, if we're going to do this, I think we have to find another way to fund it.
Let's go to John, who's calling in from Berlin. Hi, John. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to make a comment. We are a small business out of Berlin. Three full-time employees, one part-time, and we're actually in the process of leaving the state of Vermont. I'll just echo what the commissioner said. This is just another nail in the coffin of small businesses in the state, the property tax and everything else on top of it, plus cost of heating and all. It's very surprising for me to even believe a small business can even make it in this state anymore. Thank you. I'll take the rebuttal off the air. Thanks.
John, thanks for your comments. I appreciate hearing from you. Lindsay DeLaurier, what about, I mean, here's John, and we've heard from the commissioner and we've heard from the governor that businesses feel like they're drowning in taxes. And this, you know, is a small payroll deduction, but it adds up. And it is yet one more thing coming out of business owners' pockets and employees' pockets, assuming that they're not using that benefit necessarily. So how do you respond to John?
Well, my response is that I hear where he's coming from. You know, it is hard. There are running a business. There are a lot of costs associated with it, and we totally understand that. This is a social insurance program that's trying to make it a little bit easier, both for the small business owner and for their employees. And we've gone around the state, and you know, there are a wide variety of opinions around the state. And one of the things that Main Street Alliance does is we survey small business owners across the state, not our members. Just we walk in and we talk to Main Street business owners and we ask them what they think. And there's a diversity of opinions on this issue, but we found that about 65% of the small brick and mortar Main Street businesses are feeling like this is something that is affordable. I mean, I just want to touch back on this price tag and reflect on what we're getting for it. You know, the commissioner mentioned between $40 and $80 million price tag, and that's right. $79 million is the cost of this program. And what you're getting for that is 12 weeks of paid leave for every worker, 100% reimbursement up to right about the median wage. I think that's important to quantify what you're getting for those dollars. And what those dollars are translated to on the individual level, like you mentioned, is a 0.93% premium deduction, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, split
tax deduction.
Right. Yeah. Premium deduction tax split between the employer and the employee. So if you're an employee and you make minimum wage, $10.50 an hour, that translates to a total $200 a year price tag. Split 50-50, that's $100 each. If you are a median wage employee, $52,000 a year, the total cost there is $480 or $240 each over the course of the year. And what that translates to is 3 months of full pay for you. So that's the equivalent of $13,000. Now, if I'm a small business owner and I've got an employee who needs those 3 months off to welcome a new child or for any other, you know, serious medical reason in their family, that $13,000, there's no break on that $13,000. Either I'm paying it to retain them, or it's really on the employee to come up with that full price tag. And so, you know, there is a cost to it. You can't have something like this without a cost, but this is a great deal. This is an enormous value for a very small dollar amount.
More to come as we continue this conversation and more from listeners as well, as you're thinking about how this would affect your life, your business, what questions you have about some of the details in the bill. We're talking about the idea of paid family leave, paid family and sick leave, something the state is considering mandating. And we're looking at how it would work. And if you want to share your perspective, you can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net.
Hey, podcast listeners. This month, we're asking you to help us spread the word about great podcasts. So think of someone in your life and tell them about a podcast you think they'll love. If they don't know how to listen to podcasts, offer to show them. And then tell us what show you recommended, because we want new podcasts too. You can use the hashtag TryPod. That's T-R-Y pod. I know, very clever. And thanks for spreading the word.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking about how it could work for the state to create a pool of money that workers could use to take paid time off to care for a sick family member or new baby, or to recover from an illness or injury. We're talking with Lindsay DeLaurier, Vermont State Director of the Main Street Alliance, a nonprofit business association, and with Lindsay Curley, Vermont's Labor Commissioner. And let's go to Paula, who's calling in from Enosburg. Hi, Paula. Go ahead.
Hi. I would just like to underscore the point that this is, for small businesses, it's very hard for them to compete with mid or bigger businesses. This is really the most affordable way for small businesses to be able to offer what is really a very good, reasonable benefit, a wonderful benefit for their employees. And it puts all businesses in a level playing field. It's really not a huge amount. It makes it possible for small businesses to be really good to their employees. And I think, in general, it's a very good way to encourage people to come to Vermont. This is what Phil Scott wants. So I think it's a great idea.
Paula, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate your perspective on that. And let's hear from Charles in West Rutland with a different perspective. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Go right ahead.
Good. Well, quite frankly, I'm offended. I'm a small businessman in West Rutland. I have a small floor covering store. I started it myself 24 years ago. When I go in the bathroom, I don't turn the lights on. I, you know, honestly, I pee in the dark. I keep the heat down to 62 in here, and I am offended to my core when I have to listen to somebody from a nonprofit tell me that it's a small amount. Because it's not a small amount. It is more socialism, more womb to tomb, take care of me. You know, I did not have children until I can afford them. My children did not have children until they can afford them. I didn't buy a house that was too expensive for me, you know, so I could pay my taxes through income sensitivity. And honestly, both of you, you know, Lindsay and you, Jane, mentioned that this is a small amount to pay for what you're getting. And that offends me to my core.
Charles, I want to thank you for sharing your perspective and clarify. I am not taking a position on this bill. I am suggesting that some people may say a 0.93 payroll deduction is a small deduction. So I'm asking our guest today to clarify their positions on that. But Charles, I hear your position loud and clear. And before we come back to Commissioner Curley, Lindsay DeLaurier, what about that? You know, Charles has some pretty strong arguments there about, you know, somebody saying this is what's good for business. And he's a business owner. Shouldn't he be the one making that decision? And employees can come and go as they choose.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. And I do understand that, and I think that there, you know, as a business owner, you want to be in control of your business. You want to be in control of the decisions that you're making, and that's understandable. But we've also got to look at the broader community and the impacts on the broader community of the policy decisions we're making. And this is a social insurance program,
and that's what Charles opposes.
Right. And this is not a new concept. You know, it's like unemployment insurance is the same kind of thing. And it's programs like these, and it's programs like Social Security, all of which are mandated, you know, all of which are required. It's a part of building a system within our community that can help support self-reliance and that can help support financial independence so that people don't fall down when life inevitably and certainly puts an obstacle in your way. You know, he talked about not having children till he could afford it. That's commendable and that's laudable. That's not everyone's reality. Sometimes there are unexpected situations in your life that come up and there you are. You're a parent or you need to caregive for someone in your family and you didn't make that choice. You didn't have the ability to make that choice. Or unfortunately, you know, illnesses are not planned. Injuries are not planned. And so we don't always have the ability to plan for every event and be prepared for every event in our life. And this is a program that protects not just the individuals, but really helps to protect us and our economy broadly. You know, I would just, not to throw out too many stats and numbers, but I think this is a little apropos of this question. In 2012, there was a study done that found that nearly half of workers who needed to take time off and were eligible through FMLA didn't take it because they could not afford to take it. And so that's just showing that people aren't taking the time they need. And another study also showed that about half of bankruptcies, and I'm going to look for this and get you the exact number, in the U.S., actually, Jane, let me find this stat because I'm looking for it.
All right, so I want to come back to you, Commissioner Curley, and I'll read a couple of other comments that we have from listeners. Lots of people have some pretty strong thoughts on this. Liz in Waterbury says, look, the cost is pennies on the thousands of dollars, 5 cents per $20,000 of payroll. Many small companies can't do this alone. If we bring them all together, this is cost-effective and easy. It's offered in New Jersey, and they've seen a very positive response. But Ross says, subsidized childcare, free tuition, and now a mandate which equals a tax for family leave. At what point does Vermont completely embrace a socialistic agenda? I could only wish that my salary had gone up as much as my property tax percentage-wise. 15 years ago, they were $1,900. Today, they're $9,200. I support my family and help support my employees. At what point do I have to stop supporting the rest of the population as well? So, Commissioner Curley, there's been a lot of back and forth here. You know, what are you thinking as you hear all of these different perspectives on this idea of mandated paid family leave?
Absolutely. You know, it is true that there are a lot of that the arguments on both sides are very passionate. You know, I just want to, you know, address, to go back to the story that John mentioned and Charles, and it's a story that we hear too often. This really is another price tag on top of, you know, an already expensive, you know, proposition being a small employer and or an employer in the state of Vermont. And, you know, when the governor took office, he said, you know, his three main objectives were make Vermont more affordable, grow the economy, and protect the vulnerable. His point was we need to make Vermont affordable and grow the economy without cutting very important programs, but we need to do it in a way that doesn't increase the tax or increase fees to Vermonters. So I feel like, again, you know, hearing these arguments, I don't want to be misunderstood in the importance of having time with your family or with a new baby. I just think we need to find another way to fund it.
So how would you suggest that? I mean, if you think that that's important, but it's not mandated, and we know that companies that do offer paid family leave are often are paying employees more. So this is something that falls more to lower paid employees who often don't have paid time off. How would you say we should fund it if you think it's important?
Well, you know, I don't have the answer on how to fund it exactly. I think that, you know, in my own business, pardon me, when we were faced with somebody needing family leave, we tried to be creative about making their, you know, more flex time or working out a plan with them to help them get through that period of time. And I think that that's what's really nice for businesses is that they do have the opportunity to get creative like that. You know, I'll be interested to see what President Trump proposes in the long term. He's talked about paid family leave, and we haven't seen the plan. But we do have some states that have a hybrid or a portion of this plan in place. None of them are in effect that are business funded yet. There have been, to my knowledge, a couple that are, for example, New York has passed where it would be, I think, a split 50-50 who's paying for it, but it doesn't go into effect until 2018. And then Washington, D.C. has some form of it as well. The law has yet to be approved by Congress. So, you know, we are, we just don't have the history. We don't have any evidence of economic impact to employers at this point. So
let's go to Carrie Brown, who's on the line with us. She's executive director of the Vermont Commission on Women. Hi, Carrie. What are your thoughts on this?
Hi. Thank you for having me. So the Vermont Commission on Women feels that this topic is important enough that we applied for and received a grant from the U.S. Department of Labor to conduct a really comprehensive feasibility study on this last year. And we have a lot of findings, but one of the things that I really wanted to emphasize is there's been a lot of talk about the cost of this and about the money involved. And the economic impact analysis that we did showed that there would be millions of dollars, in fact, of cost savings from a program like this. So we could expect to see up to $4 million in savings overall in the state. And a lot of that would be, primarily that would be in child care savings, which would be to individual families, could expect to save up to $3.5 million in savings. We'd also see savings from reduced public assistance. We would see something on the order of about 1,800 people who would otherwise fall below the poverty line who, with a program like this, would be able to stay above the poverty line. So there are really broad-based benefits if you're only looking at a financial standpoint. But then, of course, there are plenty of others as well.
What about for businesses, though? I mean, is this just essentially a burden on the businesses that is a benefit to the greater good, but they're still going to foot the bill and pay the costs?
Well, we did a study of 427 businesses. We also did focus groups with businesses, so we could try to get at that a little bit more. And I do want to say that one interesting thing we found was that we also did public polling among both the public and employers. Sharing the cost 50-50 was by far the most popular option. That was what they really supported. And we had lots of employers tell us that they don't offer this leave themselves currently. They would like to, but cost is the issue that gets in their way. They can't afford to do it on their own. And so a shared program where people are paying in premiums across the board would make it possible for them to offer something that they would like to, but otherwise can't.
That's Carrie Brown, who leads the Vermont Commission on Women. Carrie, thanks for calling in. And let's go to Mike, who's calling in now from Barrie. Hi, Mike. Your thoughts on this.
Hi there. I just wanted to touch base about this from a couple different perspectives. I have two children, and my wife and I had our children when I was an employee of someone else, and I'm now self-employed. And it's this measure is something that I don't support for a number of reasons. You know, the advocates say that we're hoping to attract people to our state with this, and I think we struggle much more with attracting employers to our state than we do attracting people to our state. It seems like it's gotten to the point where people feel like having kids is a human right, and it's not. I think it's something that you should plan for, and in my opinion, if you can't afford to create your own time off to have children, you're probably not financially positioned very well to have children.
Mike, thanks. I hear your point, and we'll just re-point out that this is a bill that applies to more than just people having children or adopting children. It also applies to people who are recovering from illness or needing to take care of a family member who has an injury or illness. But your point is taken, Mike, on you think that this will actually scare away businesses. Lindsay DeLaurier, you know, so we've heard a number of people who say, I don't think this is a great idea, but you stand firm.
We do stand firm. We know that there has been a lot of success in the four states where this has already been implemented and rolled out, that businesses, even those at the beginning who may have been, you know, nervous about it, really felt strongly about it. And we've just got to keep coming back to why we're doing it and, you know, to the importance for families and the importance for children. You know, our co-chair on the coalition is Voices for Vermont's Children. And not to focus too much on the parental leave part of it, but this this program will help reduce infant mortality rates. It will result in more regular checkups and immunization rates for kids. It increases breastfeeding rates for women. It reduces postpartum depression. It increases the involvement of new dads.
Because they don't have to come back to work as soon.
You're going to see families being able to piece together 6 months between mom and dad, 3 months and 3 months. This is how we get it addressing the child care affordability puzzle. Think about it from the perspective of aging parents. The share of adult children providing care to aging parents has tripled over the past 15 years. We've got to come together in Vermont to figure out how we're going to address these problems and think about it from a public health perspective as much as from a cost perspective.
Well, we will continue to follow this bill as it moves through the legislature and keep you updated through VPR News. Lindsay DeLaurier is the Vermont State Director of Main Street Alliance. Lindsay Curley is Vermont Labor Commissioner. Thanks to both of you for being on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Listeners, want to share your thoughts on this topic? Leave a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us at Vermont Edition. And follow Vermont Edition in NPR One for our latest content. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri, Sam Gail Rosen, and Meg Malone. Mary Williams directed this program. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels. And our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.